Hey, everybody. So last time in episode 6, we talked about personality types in marriage what that was like, specifically introverts. So today we're talking about those extra extroverts.
Really? Really? That's what we're doing?
Yeah. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? Episode 7, Life and Love Podcast. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
Hey.
I wish we had like one of those cue things that had all the hand claps.
Oh,
and
my
stuff.
Gosh.
Like, what's up, y'all? So episode 7. I know, like, this, and that's perfect. That would have been perfect because we're talking about extroverts.
Yes, and we live, all love that.
We live for the,
oh my gosh, the applause.
We live for the applause,
and
the center
oh
of attention. Yes.
So, would you agree
we
with
thrive.
My comment that y'all are extra?
No, we're not. We're just enough. I
so,
don't
we're
think
not
we're, extra.
We're not going to be honest on our podcast today.
Well, I think
is what
if,
you're telling me.
I think if you have 10 extroverts in the same room, then we're not all being extra. We're just all being ourselves, which is just enough.
And loud and talkative and a lot.
Extra. Yeah, when it, in comparison to
extra.
Introverts.
Oh my gosh. So, we're going to focus on extroverts today.
This is part 2, you guys. I told you I was coming.
Yes, he's so excited. So, go ahead and tell me a little bit about what an extrovert is.
Generally, I think somebody that's like outgoing, impulsive, maybe they think on their feet, think out loud. Somebody that's like really into teamwork, you know, someone that likes to go out and be around people. I think generally a people person, and not to say that introverts aren't people person, but I think in general, more extroverts are people.
So, like, I mean, I guess this might be the same type of question, but what do you think are the main differences that, like, overall, like, from episode 6 to now, what do you think are, like, the main differences?
Well, I just know personally, like, I get excited around people, or if I'm going to an event, like I kind of feel like the anticipation building. I'm excited, not just for the event, but you know, just being around people, what may happen, what are we going to do that night and all that stuff. Generally. And like when I get there, I just feel like I've got, you know, the energy to do whatever I'm there for, whether it's a party or it's a music event or, you know, even if it's like going to church sometimes, you know, like.
So I'm going to ask a question. It's going to sound like super whatever. I'm just going to ask it. So you know how there are like people who have to have this pre-turn up before like they go to a party or whatever?
You're probably dealing with the extrovert.
But I was thinking since you guys get that energy before you go anywhere already because you're like, oh my gosh, all these people are gonna be here, I'm so excited. Y'all have like that natural pre-turn up before wherever you're going.
What kind
would you
of pre-turn
agree
up you talk about?
Well, some people that I've seen on the telly to drink or whatever they do before they go out to like a party. I guess I don't really know why they do that.
I don't know. I think extroverts still do that. I think extroverts still do that.
Interesting.
But yeah, it
oh
might
my
be
gosh, aren't y'all afraid you blow up for all the extra? That's too much. You already excited that you're gonna be, wow. I don't know about that life. I just stay home. Just kidding.
No, I think it's natural. I think there's some truth to it. I don't think there's a blanket statement for what extroverts will do, or if it's natural, or.
Right.
Or if they're going to do something extra. I don't know. I know for myself, I have done that before where it's like, I'm excited to go to this place. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, you do that because you're excited. You're happy. You know that you're going somewhere or whatever. You know, so yeah.
What are some other differences, or do you kind of say everything that you're thinking about?
I think one of the main things that I get recognized for at work is my ability to work with teams and gather mm-hmm. people and stuff like that. So I think that's one of the, and again, not to say I don't want no extroverts or introverts coming on and saying, what you mean? I'm a team person. I'm a this, I'm a that. Yeah. Like there's definitely some introvert people who do very well in the team, but I think, and this is just me personally speaking, I think I work really well with a team and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think out loud. I tend to be a little bit impulsive and stuff, making quick decisions and stuff like that. Because I want to get to it, you know?
I think to the point that you were talking about being able to work on teams, you brought up a good point that you're not saying that it's a blanket statement, but like we talked about in the last episode, there are 8 different types of extroverts and 8 different types of introverts. And so like a lot of these things kind of vary depending on where you fall in your, you know, personality types. And just because they say that, oh, extroverts do this, and it's research, doesn't mean like that's who you are or that's who you have to be. Again, it's just like a framework or whatever. Because
mm-hmm.
like sometimes I like to work in teams.
Absolutely.
As an introvert, but not for a very long time and not like a big crowd. Like it varies for different people. Like, you know, for me. So mm-hmm. yeah, you brought up a really
like
good point.
Like a team
could
be 2 people.
Yeah, there you go.
Or 20.
No. But if I had to, you know, I would. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I think
depends
you guys are
the
just
circumstances.
Right. I think mm-hmm. you guys are just more like, let's go. Like it really isn't anything for you
right.
guys.
There's,
would you agree?
There's not like a
hesitation,
like a mental barrier there, mm-hmm. or something that butts up against like the framework of who you are
yeah.
to the core.
It's not a challenge. It's
not
more
a challenge,
like,
yeah,
you're excited about it.
Yeah. I don't have to psych myself up to do anything that involves a group.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, even if you're going out to sing somewhere, even, you know, you gotta be like, you gotta mentally prepare yourself and
yes,
all that stuff. For
absolutely.
Me, I just get up there and go.
That's it. Impulsivity, would you say? Or
I think so.
Spontaneity. Yeah, that word.
Spontaneity. Combustion.
So tell us a little bit more about your personality type.
All right. So in the last episode, we suggested that you guys hop on to 16personalities.com.
Yes.
Find out what your personality is. I took the test a long time ago, maybe a couple of years ago. And I took it a few times just to make sure.
Yes.
That
I want to know that story. I was like, because I
read it and I was like, this is kind of weird. But I took it a few times and it came up consistent. So I figured that, you know, this is what I relate mostly with. And they call it the CONSUL, ESFJ. So the E stands for extroverted. The S stands for observant. The F is feeling and the J is judging. And so these are people that, and I'm just reading off their description and then I can kind of give you my personal take on it, but they're more attentive, and people focused. Mm-hmm. They enjoy taking part in their social community. Their achievements are guided by decisive values and they're willingly offer guidance to others. And I think that's, that's the whole reason why we're doing this podcast. That's
right.
Kind of crazy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is something I willingly do. It's not like, this is not tough for me. No one's squeezing my arm. Like I want to be able to help people. That's the whole reason why we have this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as far as the attentive and people focused, I've been told, and I've gotten what are they called when you get something good on the job?
Yeah, recognition.
Recognition, yeah. Gotten a lot of recognition on how people focused I am, customer service focused I am, taking part in their social community. That's something that's like important to me as well. Just making sure that I'm active and involved in my immediate community, you know, whether it's at church or sometimes on social media. But not just there as well. Like, I've done a lot of things. Like, now I don't ever toot my own horn or whatever, but I've in working with a couple of Fortune 500 companies, I've naturally gravitated to being the go-to person for community outreach and you know, different programs that impact the community. Mm-hmm. It ranges from different things, from volunteering to you know, food drives and things like that. Long resume in helping that. And this, again, it's not something that someone has to twist my arm to do. It's just something that I naturally gravitate toward it.
So you're saying that the description, the ESFJ description, pretty much describes you, and it's like pretty much on, right?
Yeah, it goes into a lot more detail than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest, personality identifier for the ESFJ is their heart for service.
Yeah.
They want to do things to make people happy, make sure that their immediate family and friends and stuff like that are good. I hate conflict.
Yes.
I mean, some conflict is good, but I don't like it. And I always look for a quick solution to make it better.
And that's what I was going to talk about. I remember earlier on when we got married, you specifically said, I don't like to argue. And I was like, okay.
Not even knowing this about myself.
Right. We didn't know anything about personality types. And so anytime like we would have a disagreement, you would be quick to be like, okay, how can I fix it? And we've talked about this in previous episodes, or no, last episode, where I said, because of who I am, not knowing that I was an INFJ, that I needed time to like chill before I blew up. But because of his personality, he wanted to fix things because he was like, man, I want everybody to be all good. I want everybody to be happy and, you know, things like that. So it's very interesting that. And I found it also very interesting that you and I have the FJ. So we have the judging and the feeling parts that are similar.
Yeah. And I wanted to maybe pose a question to you, because like you always hear about. So like the whole reason we're talking about these personalities is how does understanding your spouse's personality impact your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
How does that play a part in how you all operate, the conversations you have, and just like different interactions, you know, problem solving and all that stuff. And so like knowing that there's some part of us that's similar, but then there's also a part of us that's opposite. And so like, how do you, what do you think about the term that says, or the saying, opposites attract?
Mm-hmm. So I think I like the term opposites attract. That's kind of hard because like, I feel like we're similar, but we're very different. So for example, you're tall, I'm short, you play an instrument, I sing, and I guess you can look at it as, you know, my voice is my instrument, and things like that. And then just the topic that we're on right now, you're an extrovert and I'm an introvert, and like things like that, and our different needs. I would say I agree for the most part. not 100%, because I feel like we're more alike than we are different.
Yeah, I remember.
But there's so many like variables. So.
Yeah, there's a ton of variables. I remember when we, if you listen back to like episode 1 and 2, when we were kind of like getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And stuff. And one of the first conversations that we had over the phone, we were like just talking about like what our interests were.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that we had a lot of things that we liked in common. And so, you know, there's sayings out there that say like people with similar personalities attract and do better. But then you have others that say opposites attract, which I tend to like, if you were to ask like, which term do I agree with more? I think I do better, and this is just my personality type. I do better with someone that's opposite with me because it balances me.
Yes.
And it balances some of my impulses. I've learned over the years to rely more on her judgment, because like, you know, we live in a society that's like, it's all about me, my mindset, my decision.
You can go with your heart.
How I think, or yeah, go with your heart or whatever. And you don't see an emphasis on partnering together with your spouse, with the person that you're living with, that you're spending your life with, on even like some of the simple decisions. Like, yeah, we can talk about the major decisions, but what about the simple decisions?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that I can't make decisions by myself, but it's like, I need someone who I can bounce something off of and get a different perspective, get a different viewpoint on, that I won't even be thinking of because of my personality.
And that's interesting too, because I was reading that as well when I was looking up your personality type, that they said that your type would benefit from someone with the introverted personality type to help you with that being impulsive and things like that. So it's natural, you know, that you know that. I don't think you looked that up, you know, it's just kind of what you felt. And same here, like I needed you to help balance me out, because I could literally be just in my own mind and things like that. Yep, shelled up, and you know, and sometimes I need that push. And that's healthy. I think that's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So go back to what your question was about marriage and personality.
So what was the question? I forgot.
I believe it was like functioning in a relationship.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess function in a relationship. So how do you navigate those things?
Yeah.
So now you know your personality. You've taken the test. You kind of review it. Maybe you relate to it. And you find out your spouse's personality type. Now, how do you function? Like, where do you go from there? How do you start to, you know, move forward and make better decisions?
Yeah.
More informed decisions now that you know more about your spouse.
Okay. So, well, in our relationship, I've learned a lot. Us being opposites, I didn't really understand you. I didn't really understand why you wanted to constantly be out all the time or be around more people. And I will share as well, like me being, this is a part of me kind of growing in my identity and understanding who I was personally, along with understanding who you were. I had to grow in understanding that just because you wanted to be with other people doesn't mean that I wasn't enough for you. Mm. And that, I think that was something major for me, because that was something I just could not get over. Like, why does he always want to go talk to somebody? Like, I'm right here, talk to me. And I'm like, we can talk about super deep things and, you know, I'm enough. And because I like that one-on-one interaction.
What more do you want?
Right. What more do you want? Here I am.
I got everything you need.
And so I think that was a major thing that I have to learn in our marriage far as personality.
I think one thing that, and this is us. So now we know each other's, you know, personalities, our strengths and our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. One strength that we identified with me is that I'm a pretty good manager of day-to-day tasks. I'm a pretty good manager of money and stuff like that. And I like to take care of my family. That's like the service aspect. But what we identified, especially when a couple years ago when my dad passed, what we identified was an opportunity with LaShonda even knowing what's going on. So like I would do such a good job with taking care of things that I completely shut her out of some of the monthly things that need to be done. What are some of the things that we have set up that are like contingency plans if one of us gets hurt, you know, like where's all that information stored? And it was kind of eye opening because we were like, oh snap, you know, we need to do a better job at partnering together with handling of the finances and all that stuff. And so, you know, we started to, I started to share a lot of that stuff. And then what happened in sharing a lot of that stuff with her, we began to make changes because she would then question like, hey, why are we doing it this way? How come we don't have this or whatever? And I think having that insight, that opposite opinion or perspective really helped us to move our finances into a different area, or not a different area, but an area where we both wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the beauty of just seeing our different, you know, personalities come into play as well. And I had to allow him as well to lead. That's, you know, another aspect of it as well, knowing that you do have very strong practical skills. You do like to have things organized. You do like to, if we're out on a vacation, you want things to be detailed. You
That's
want
right.
us to
we
go
need to
have this
an
place.
Agenda.
Yes. You want to have an agenda and
we'll spend 11 minutes there.
And so I had to learn how to just, we both had to learn how to be more compromising, with that, as well. So, and then just another thing is us again, allowing him the time he needed to just go out and be a people person and meet people. For example, today we met some wonderful new neighbors and I was caught all the way off guard. And he's like, hey, Shonda, come meet these neighbors. And I'm like, oh my God, can I prepare first?
We had some new neighbors move in and I was outside, you know, doing my thing on the grill. And I saw some people that I'd never seen before. So I was like, naturally, I was like, hey, let me introduce myself.
Yeah, and they were talking like they knew each other for 10 years. It was like, I didn't know if I was supposed to hug them. Like, are we family, long lost family? Mm-hmm. Or like, literally, I felt like you knew them. It was...
What I did was I found something that I could relate to them. And like... It's just, I just kept asking questions and, you know, and come to find out the lady is from Trinidad, which is the same island that my mother is from. And it was like, okay, boom, instant connection. And then I was like, hey, come meet my wife. And she was in the garage like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was, but you know,
but you
I think
did it though.
I did. And it, I think it was beautiful though that I really feel like you have a gift for like talking to people and meeting people. And really it's a beautiful thing when it's on display because you have a way of making people feel welcomed even if they don't do the same for you. I think that's a really beautiful thing as well.
I think no matter what, though, no matter what your personality type is, you know, whether you're similar, have some similar things in, you know, in common, or you have some differences, the relationship is going to need work. Mm-hmm. It's going to require work. It's going to require you digging in and spending time getting to know your spouse. It's going to require you having some tough conversations. It's going to require you to study. Like I study LaShonda like all the time. Like you know, maybe that sounds bad, but I have to study her so that I can understand what makes her tick, understand, you know, how to set her up for success and stuff like that.
And I think the truth is everybody's ever changing. And so we're never going to learn someone 100% because every day we're changing, every month, every week we're changing. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, there's definitely some things that when we first got married that I was interested in, that I'm no longer interested in, mm-hmm. and some new things that I'm interested in that I never thought I would be,
right,
you know, doing.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, like 10 years later or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to constantly learn and constantly evolve and constantly, just, you have to face the fact that it's going to require some effort to keep a strong and positive relationship. You know, even the strongest relationships, there's some people that I've known that were married for years, and then all of a sudden, like, next thing you know, you hear that they broke up. Why?
Yeah.
You know? And of course, there's always like situations that come up and that cause something that, you know, where they have to break up or whatever. But you never want to have a breakup because you neglected to
make the effort.
Yeah. Because you neglected to put in the effort, put in the time. You rather be on your phone. In extroverts, case, you rather go out and hang out with other people rather than set that time aside, for spending time with your wife. LaShonda asked me earlier, I think she asked me earlier today or yesterday or something like that. Uh-huh. She was like, do you ever get tired of hanging around people? I was like, absolutely. I was like, absolutely. I get tired. Like, especially when, I'm working and I'm around a lot of people. When I come home, the only people I want to be around is people that have my last name. That's the only people I have patience for.
Yeah, after a long day of work, I could understand that.
You know, but even still, like, even if I'm hanging out with some people, at some point, like, I don't want to be around you
anymore. So basically, you don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Or I may not be going home, but I'm about to get up out of here. You know?
Yeah, I could agree with your point about learning your spouse and learning, you know, your partner. And I think that's the beauty, again, of taking this personality test and just understanding your spouse. It's not just about understanding you. And again, it's a blueprint. No test is really going to tell you everything you need to know about your spouse. But the fact that I think it was just I don't want to say a big sigh of relief, but it was like, oh, okay, now I get why he is like this when he gets off of work and he comes home and he does this. He's not trying to hurt me. He's doing this because this is the way that he is. This is how he has to operate, or this is how he's thinking, or he needs this because blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, she used to get, let me tell y'all, she used to get upset when I would come off of a long day at work, mm-hmm. and then I'd go to the kitchen and see that maybe some dishes need to be washed, or maybe some stuff needs to be picked up off the floor, and I start doing it. And she's like, why are you coming home doing this stuff or whatever, whatever?
Yeah.
It's just that I willingly do it. It takes no extra effort for me to to want to do it. It's not like it's a burden for me to serve in that way, to make sure my family's good, make sure we're in a clean home and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You deal with a lot throughout the day with the kids and stuff like that. It's nothing for me to come home and clean up the kitchen or to, you know, throw a load of clothes in the washing machine or something like that.
Right. And the thing about that was too, is just all the things that were attached to that, you mm-hmm. know, for me personally, I felt like you were offending me. Like right. you were telling me I was a bad wife with your actions without saying it, when really you was just like, let me help you.
Right. I could totally get that. And that's probably another episode, is like what baggage we bring into relationships.
Yes.
Root. And I think that's, yeah. Cause like you have these misconceptions, or, you know, these preconceived conceptions,
and expectations
that, okay, as a wife, you not only have to cook, clean, make dinner, you need to have this whole house clean every day. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm. You need to always wear makeup and your hair laid.
Yes. And you need to walk around the house in heels. You need to. Oh, no, that's too much.
That's what you want.
But you got these unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. And then when life hits you, and you have a baby, you have two babies, and the house is a little junky, you know.
Or you have to serve your husband on a paper plate sometimes. Yeah. I remember, I'm just going to go into the story because I'm thinking about it. I remember one time I cooked you a meal and I was really proud of the meal and I posted it online. And one old, you know, Jamaican lady was like, don't you ever serve your husband on a paper plate.
Oh, snap.
And I was like, oh, I wish y'all could see this my face right now.
And the husband wasn't upset. He ate the food.
Oh, he ate the food and you probably had another plate.
Had another plate.
And that's the thing about expectations. Just because someone is doing something like that in their home, that doesn't mean that applies to you.
Push that on you.
You're going to come wash my dishes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Like, and that's so.
Yeah.
Protect your peace. We're going to definitely have to talk about that. But yeah.
But understanding. Right. We digress.
Yeah.
Understanding each other's personalities helps us to bring, it brings clarity to what we do, you know, what are our knee jerk reactions to certain situations? What makes us tick? Like, why are we doing certain things?
Mm-hmm. What do you need?
Yeah.
Things you need.
Yeah.
For example, I remember looking at your personality and there are certain things that you need, like me to encourage you. And I think I'm naturally encouraging and I'm naturally going to, you know, boost your ego because one, I think you're fine. One, you're super talented. You're smart. Okay. You know, all these amazing things. So it's not not hard for me to like encourage you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things like that. Just understanding what you need is like super important as well, and making sure that I fulfill that.
I think one thing that that you, as you became aware of who I was and my personality type, and how sometimes I can be too selfless.
Yes.
Sometimes I can serve to a point where I neglect my own needs,
mm-hmm.
or I neglect. You know, what I'm supposed to be doing that no one else is going to do, or just general time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's done a great job with protecting my personal time, protecting like just my mental space and
your heart
and my heart. Right. Cause I could put my heart into things. To a point where it's like, okay, this person is now taking advantage of you.
Yes.
Yeah. And she can point it out, like, and it's dead accurate. And sometimes like me being more optimistic and not seeing, the fault in what people are doing or mm-hmm. what they may be doing that could be causing me harm.
Yeah.
Most of the time, like, she is like my protector in that area.
I'm your pit bull chihuahua mix. Yeah. I'm always going to do that for you.
Yeah. So whenever I'm like neglecting my own needs, she's right there to be like, okay, how about you take a break from that or
and
something like that?
That's why, like, in our case, opposites attract. Do you know
or
why we
good
need
for
each other? Yeah. So, because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like, with my personality, I hate when people are picked on. And I think that's kind of, you know, my...
Like, more like justice. You're all about...
I'm all about justice. And I don't want anyone to get picked on or taken advantage of or treated badly. And so I can pick up on that very easily. And just knowing that my husband is so caring and he gives and he gives and he gives, I can spot it from a mile away and I will not let it happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So in what ways can you be good for your spouse by identifying your personality traits and his? Like, how can your personality complement your spouse's? I think that's a question that you can ask yourself, that you can reflect on and see, you know, okay, what are some of my strengths that really complement his weaknesses?
Yeah.
And what are some of his strengths that really attend to my weaknesses? And at the end of the day, that's how you're building a strong relationship.
Yeah.
And you're evolving together and stuff like that.
So guys, we thank y'all for joining our podcast.
This was really good. This was a really good conversation. I think like this is when you're talking about building a relationship
mm-hmm.
and putting the work in, this is where you're digging and really setting in the foundation so that you can really build something that's just not surface level, you know? Because like surface level relationships, they will crash inevitably.
And it's not fulfilling.
It's not satisfying. You know, like at the end of the day, you want to have a relationship that's satisfying, a relationship that's satisfying, a relationship that is gratifying on every level, mentally, physically, spiritually. And when you're getting down to the core of who you are, that's when you're like, okay, he satisfies my soul, like on every single level.
So we don't want to just end this conversation here. We want you guys to join us on our Facebook page. That's Life and Love Podcast. Like the page. Let's keep the conversation going. And if you want, we have a community, a group. Join our podcast community. Like us on Instagram and all those things, guys. So, and if you want to, leave us a voice note on anchor.fm. / Life and Love Podcast with the Lewises.
Yes.
We'd love to hear from you guys. So stay tuned. We're going to have some new things coming in our next couple of episodes.
Yep. All right, guys. It's been real fun. Let's keep the conversation going. This is a really good topic. There's mm-hmm. a lot still left to unpack with this, but we figured we'd start here.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. See you all later.
Bye.